Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I usually do not preach a 4th of July Sunday. There's usually a Sunday near the 4th, but not on the 4th. But last night, we have a Saturday night service, and so we are here at 5 o'clock on the actual 4th of July. So not only do we have church on the 4th of July, it also happens to be the 250th, and I thought, I can't not notice that. I do want to say this. I'm one, and I'm sure many of you are, who here is old enough to remember the bicentennial? Some of you, right? That would be 1976 for my mom, who's working that out. No. And if you do remember 1976, are you thinking, how on earth is it 50 years ago that that took place? So anyway, this week I was thinking, I don't want to preach a 4th of July sermon. I want to do something else. You look at the text, and then as I was thinking about it, I noticed our psalm of the day starts with these words, and I want to hear the first several words very carefully. Psalm 145:1, I will exalt you, my God, the King. You hear that? My God, the King. Now, here's the trivia we need to know the answer to. Who wrote that psalm? David. And what did David do for a living? He was the king. David is the king of Israel, the most powerful man in Israel. He's at the top of the pyramid. And the king says, I will exalt you, my God, the real king. You see it? The Bible, in saying that, is saying that there is the earthly realm. You and I are citizens of the United States. And there is the heavenly kingdom where God reigns on his throne. And imagine this, the David with all his power. And how many men do we know? The rich and the powerful get so caught up in who they are. And David said, there's a king above me. He knew his job was to serve the people and that he was answerable to God himself. That's the kind of leadership you want, isn't it? Now, that's parallel. Psalm 41, 41, I'll exalt you, my God, the king. There's this earthly kingdoms. There's the heavenly kingdom. That is parallel to the Old Testament lesson, which was just read, Zechariah 9:9, behold, your king comes. But notice what it says. Behold, your king comes to you, lowly, riding on a donkey. That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ riding in to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Once again, there was a Roman governor, but there was Jesus, the real king, on a donkey. So I thought, well, the texts are all pointing this out, that you and I celebrate, and by the way, rightly celebrate the 4th of July, and at the same time, as we're citizens of America, we are also members of the church, the body of Christ, right? And part of being a Christian is having your life in both worlds. And one of the challenges is to figure out, how do we put this together? We can't exhaustively do it in one sermon, but I want us to talk about some things. Now, I want to start by asking two questions, very obvious answers. This is not going to be hard. Are you ready? First question. Has America been blessed by God?
Yes.
Yes. Abundantly. Right, look into the history books. We are uniquely blessed by freedom and prosperity in a way just uncommon among all the empires of the world. And it is right to celebrate that. We should be proud to be Americans, delighted. By the way, here's what I say. We should be thankful to enjoy the blessings of God upon our nation. In fact, that's the response. If God has blessed us, then we'd be thankful. I think Christians, more than anyone, would be thankful because we know who we're thanking. Now, first question, has America been blessed by God? You rightly said yes. Here's the second question, also very easy. Is America perfect?
No.
You guys answer quite quickly. If the answer is our country's not perfect, there's a couple things that go with that. One is our nation's history has some very deep blemishes in it. Very deep. And at this moment in time, our nation is going away from God. So we've been richly blessed by God. We want to be aware of that. We want to always be aware that if America's not perfect, and it isn't, and it never has been, that means that the possibility remains for growth. Right? And especially, I'd say this, as a Christian people, it remains part of our task to ask our country to do better. Right? Okay. I want to look at some texts, and they come from a couple different places. So I want to dive in. If you write text down, I'll tell you where they are. I want to look at what does the Bible say about this business of believers who live in this world but are not of this world. You are citizens of a heavenly kingdom, and that's the ultimate reality, but you are a citizen of an earthly kingdom. So let's look at a couple texts. Psalm 33:12. If you do that daily reading plan in the bulletin, we read this a couple days ago. Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Did you hear that? The Bible's letting us know right there that every nation picks its core values. The things that it esteems, the things that it rewards, the things that it discourages. Every nation picks what that is. But here's the caveat, it's not neutral. Some are just not as effective as others. The Bible is saying, as the nation is blessed, who has chosen the ways of God. In the Old Testament, it's primarily envisioning that to be Israel, but it's true for every nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, here's another text. I always love this. You've heard me say it before, but you just can't miss it on a weekend like this. Jeremiah 29:7. That says, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you. What's going on there? In the book of Jeremiah, the nation of Israel has been defeated by her enemies, and many of their people have been taken from their homes and exiled away, and they don't like it any, understandably. They're living in the nation of an enemy, and God has not only said they're in exile, but he's literally told them, you're going to be there for 70 years. And if you're going to be there for 70 years, what do you need to do? Well, you're going to have to find a job. You're going to buy a house. You're going to marry off your kids. And so what does God say? Seek the peace and the prosperity of the city in which you live. That's just a wonderful truth of Scripture. That's for us, too, to seek the peace and well-being of the place where you live, because that's good for you. Here's one of the realities. I want Irmo to do well. Why do I want Irmo to do well? I live here. I want the state of South Carolina to do well. I mean, I know I'm a newcomer, but I live here, right? I want the United States to do well because I live here. That's in the Bible, Jeremiah 29:7. Next verse I want to look at, Psalm 72:1. Psalm 72, verse 1. This entire psalm is on this theme, by the way, but the first verse tells you what it's about. Endow the king with your justice, O God. Do you hear that? That's a prayer that our leaders would be guided by godly wisdom. We're supposed to pray that at all times. Now, here's a funny reality. You probably are aware of this. At this moment in time, our president is a Republican. But the prior president was a Democrat. And the prior president was a Republican. And the prior president was a Democrat. You can look that up. My facts are right. Which one do we pray that God would grant wisdom to? Right? Endow the king, whoever that might be, with your justice, O God. Now, here's an interesting little thing. The Bible actually talks about there's an appropriate level of government. Did everybody know this? This is in the Bible. The Bible says that anarchy is bad. like chaos, like people do anything, that is never good. In the book of Judges, and that's that great book of the Bible where, you know, they follow God, then they don't, then they do, then they don't, that book. Judges 21 verses 25 says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. I want us to hear that. That's not a positive comment. Everybody did what was right in his own eyes. It was chaos. The strong take advantage of the weak and the corrupt rule. That's not good. Anarchy is never good. Now, anarchy is not good. On the other side of the coin, tyranny is not good either. In the book of Daniel, chapter 3, the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar has erected a big gold idol, and he says everybody has to worship it. Everybody. Daniel 3:5, as soon as you hear the sound of the horn and all other kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that the king has set up, and if not, you get punished. Government is there to secure the rights of its people, not to trample on the rights of its people. Right? Anarchy not good, tyranny not good. Where's the happy midway point? That's your political worldview. You have to argue that out. That's not a pulpit topic, but I just want to notice those two things are out. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 2. St. Paul says, he's talking to the church, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority. Isn't that funny? You think, well, he's going to tell us to pray for everybody. He does. He said, for kings and all those in authority. They have a heavy responsibility. We want them to do well. But he goes on. Pray for those in authority that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. One of the things Paul is saying is you want a stable political reality for the sake of the gospel. For the sake of the church to have freedom to do what the church was called to do. Okay, all those things. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Seek the peace and prosperity of where you live. All that. Now here's one more verse. 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is a verse that's directed to Israel who's been wandering away from God. And as soon as I read it, you're going to say, oh yeah, I know that verse. Here it is. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. That is a constant invitation of the Lord. God wants us to have good government. He wants us to be citizens of the heavenly kingdom. He wants us to pray for our leaders. He wants us to celebrate the freedoms that we enjoy. And if we get off the path, he says, come back. Come back, right? I think that would be a message for America. Come on back to the Lord. We've been going our own way for about 60 years now, and it's not going so great, right? It's time for giving God a try again. We've said, God, we got this. We can do it our own. He's saying, give God a try. Now, I was working on this sermon. Here's a funny little reality. Those are the verses that occur to me to talk about a Christian living as a citizen of this world and of that world. A member of this congregation, I won't say who, but a member of this congregation sent me a text on the phone. It was a picture of a prayer resource guide that was being used at a Baptist church in downtown Columbia, South Carolina. And that guide was suggested prayers for this week concerning our nation. And in listing the prayers, it listed Bible verses. Guess which ones it listed? 2 Chronicles 7, Psalm 33, 1 Timothy 2, Jeremiah 29. I want you to know this. I did not steal that man's resource. The reason I'm mentioning it is this. A Lutheran pastor in the suburbs and a Baptist pastor downtown were thinking about America and the church, And we both said, here's the verses that we need to know. I'm kind of glad of that. I'm glad that the church, the Bible-believing church, is saying this is what we need to hear as a nation. And as we hear it, I want us to know this. I want to look at our gospel lesson, just the last couple of verses, for just a little bit. When the Lord asked us to come back, I want us to get this. It's an invitation. It's not a bad thing. The Lord God has said, return to Him. I'm glad that churches are noticing this, but I want us to catch the way Jesus says it. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Let me ask you this. Do we ever get weary and burdened, right? So hear the Lord. He invites us. He says, if you're weary and burdened, come to me. He says, take my yoke. I want us to notice this. He did say yoke. Because if God is at work in us, God does intend to change us. There's a weird theology going around now, and you'll see this online. Pastors are preaching that God wants to receive everybody, and He never asks us to change. That is false. That is not it. God intends to do a new thing. So it says, take my yoke, there will be changes. But I want us to get this. If Jesus gives us a yoke, it's good. Right? If God wants us to change something, it's for the good. Right? We have to get that. Okay. He says this, take my yoke. I'm gentle and humble, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest. He doesn't mean a nap. He means a restfulness about our spirit. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Lord invites us to come back, to return. America, right? Return. So I hope you had a good 4th of July. You should have blown things up, set things on fire, and cooked in your backyard, and said thanks to Almighty God for being an American, right? And also being aware that our country has room for growth. And as God's people, as much as we can, we work to call America to the better, and certainly pray for it. Amen. And we stand together. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.